All right, let's get it on. Welcome to a special hour of the Mike Boyle Restaurant Show. I'm your host. You know what? Everybody wants to be in the restaurant business. Everybody has an idea of what it takes to run a restaurant. Everybody thinks they'd like to stand at the end of the bar having a martini and talking to everybody as they come and go. There's a little bit more to it than that. You know, over the years, I have a couple of things I really remember. I got a call from a father and wife, father and mother. And they said, our son and his college buddy want to go into the restaurant business. They live up in Breckenridge, and they ski all day, and they work in a pizza place at night. They think they know a recipe for a pretty good pizza. They think they found a location. Would you meet with them? They need money, and we won't give them money until we feel like they have a pretty good handle on what's going on. So I met with them, and they said, yeah, you know, we make a good pizza, and yeah, we know everybody in town. And I said, great. How's the lease? Well, you know, the rent is, I said, is it a flat or is it a percentage? What do you mean? And then if we talked about that, and I said, well, what about, they said, all right, so it sounds set. It sounds like you're okay. It sounds like a percentage that you can live with, whatever the terms happen to be. I said, what about the CAM? What's CAM? Common area maintenance. That's the trash removal. That's the snow removal. That's where the landlord can raise it with impunity. He can pass along those costs to you. Oh, well, anyway, they took some advice. They did a little research. They opened up a place. It's now 12 years, and they've been tremendously successful because they were willing to listen a little bit. The second thing I say to people when they're thinking about going in is I say, have you read the book, The E-Myth by Michael Gerber? The E-Myth, the entrepreneurial myth. This is a lady that bakes cupcakes, and she bakes them for the school fair, and she bakes them for the Girl Scout troop, and she bakes them for friends and neighbors whenever they have a party. So everybody says, what? You're a great baker. You ought to open up a bakery. Now, do all of the people that say you should open up a bakery give you money to open it? Nope, 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 nope. You take the second mortgage on your house, you cash in your 401k, and then you start making cupcakes. Well, you know what, folks? It takes a lot of cupcakes to pay rent on a retail space. And then don't forget the payroll. And then don't forget all the regulations the city and the county and the state and the feds put out, all the paperwork you got to do. So it gets to be a little bit more than that. So the E-Myth is the entrepreneurial myth. You want to be in business for yourself, but maybe you don't have time to do what you love to do and bake. Now, it can work out well for you. Arlene Padilla, down in Monument, Arlene's Beans, she made bean burritos for every high school function in the Tri-Lakes area. And everybody loved them, and everybody said, Arlene, you ought to open up a restaurant. And she did. She opened up Arlene's Beans. And it went absolutely crazy. And she took a small little store in Palmer Lake, and she got a nice location in Monument, and she's doing just fine. So it can work, but there are some hurdles you may have to jump over. So I invited a guy named Steve Shaw to join me. Steve Shaw owns and operates 8 Black Eyed Peas all up and down the Front Range. And I think he's going to tell you a little bit about how you get into the restaurant business, a business that he and I certainly enjoy. We'll be right back with Steve on the Mike Boyle Restaurant Show. We're going to put this on the homepage, mikeboyle.com. We're going to put it under overtime because when we do a show, it moves to podcast. Okay, I'd love to have you listen live. You can catch up on an hour that you missed on podcast. But on overtime, hey, when the football game is tied at the end, what do they go into, Steve?
Overtime.
That's exactly right. So this will give us the time to expand a little bit, talking with Pete Coors on the 150 years of Coors Brewing, talking with Carmen Morales and starting Santiago's, yep, almost 30 years ago. So anyway, Steve, thanks for coming in. I sure appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me, Mike.
All right, so you grew up in Greeley, and 13, 14 years old. The old man says, why don't you get a job? You've been cutting grass. You've been shoveling snow for the neighbors. So you go to a restaurant and you're a busboy, maybe a waiter. I remember my first job at Ruben's Steakhouse, Ruben's Prime Rib out in California, Southern California. And here I am, you know, 15, 16 years old. Mom would take me to work and I'd be a busser. And of course, all of those waitresses were 50 years old and been doing it for 30 years. And they let me know exactly what I was supposed to do and when I was supposed to do it. And if I didn't do it, I didn't get a tip from them. So that's kind of where we started. But you branched out, went into the oil business. I went on to college, went through the Army. And I said, I don't think this is going to be my bag. I went into professional baseball management. But it's a business that kind of lures you back in, isn't it?
I think once you start, it's hard to get out. And it does lure you back in.
And it's also a skill set generally. I mean, if Steve, if you wanted, heaven forbid, we like having you around, but if you wanted to move to St. John in the Virgin Islands tomorrow, you could probably open a restaurant or at least find a job in a restaurant. So it's a skill set that travels well.
It does. Yeah, absolutely. And I thought about that when I go on vacation. It's like when I'm done running restaurants here, maybe I open a bar in the Bahamas somewhere.
Well, you know, you're talking to the guy that built a restaurant in Cabo San Lucas back in the late 80s, had it for 5 years. And if there weren't some family circumstances that changed a little bit, maybe I'd be spending a little bit more time down there. Everybody eats. Everybody likes to go out to eat pretty much all over the world. I've been in some of the world's less than desirable locations. Maybe the bush in Zambia, Africa, the formerly Northern Rhodesia. But you know what? When we came out of the bush and you went into town, there was a little place that people hung out. It was a little Spartan, but always kind of a fun place. So anyway, let's talk a little bit. I thought maybe what you would do is give the listeners a realistic assessment of, you know, we paint with a broad brush. Oh, I don't go to chains. Everybody goes to chains. Oh, everybody knows you don't make any money in the food. You make it all on the liquor. Well, not so fast there. And so, you know, there's a lot of different misconceptions. Everybody knows the secret to a good success is location, location, location. And I will say, well, what about the place? What about the four places that were in that great location before you came along and tried to tell me that it's location, location, location? So I thought maybe we could address some of those, Steve, and just kind of clear them up a little bit.
Oh, absolutely. This will be fun.
All right. So anyway, you leave school when you're done with school and you went to work in the oil fields. Have you seen the television show Landman?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God, isn't that wonderful? And you know what? I love it. I love it when the lawyer, all dressed to the nines, she says, if there's such a high incidence of injury and even death, supposedly third most dangerous occupation in this country that this country has to offer. And when you're watching Landman, you're on the edge of your seat, aren't you? Because you kind of know that something's about to happen.
Oh, yeah.
And she says to Tommy Norris, well, why do they do it? And he says, because he's a 24-year-old married convicted felon with two kids and he's making $180,000 a year. So, but the oil field business wasn't your bag?
I enjoyed it. The pay was obviously very good. This was back in the early 80s.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, $17 an hour was unheard of because in the restaurant business, it was minimum wage. So yeah, it was good until it was not. Uh-huh. And as most of our age group remember in the 80s, we had things started shutting down and was laid off. And
red meat scare and all of that type of stuff.
Absolutely. And so I went right back where I knew my roots were the restaurant business.
So anyway, what did you do? Did you go to work for somebody or did you decide to open up your own place? Did you go to work for somebody with aspirations to open up your own place?
Well, my first restaurant I worked at was called Mr. Steak. And then when I
left,
it went in the
Sizzlers,
oil business.
Western Sizzler, mm-hmm. Mr. Steak, all of those places.
And then by this time, I already had a baby.
That was high living back then.
Oh, yeah.
You bet.
So then I went to work for a breakfast restaurant called Denny's. It's a big company that could provide me with health insurance and benefits and stable income. And I became a corporate trainer for them.
Oh.
And then decided it's time to open my own restaurant.
So, all right.
I got one of my first trainees had the same aspirations, and he found a place and said, let's do this.
Mm-hmm.
And
kind of like my story of the two guys in Breckenridge.
Yeah.
We're working for somebody else. We're their personality. We're putting out good food. Maybe we can take some of these customers. Maybe we can make this into our own deal.
Yeah, and it was like the perfect situation. My wife was pregnant with my third baby, and I quit my job to open up this restaurant.
Yeah. So you come home and you say, she says, how was your day, honey? And you say, well, I quit. How'd that work out?
Well, she was born and then had spinal meningitis. I didn't have health insurance, and we're opening a brand new restaurant. And so I had to beg and plead family members to come up with Cobra to get the baby taken care of. And then it was go time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not easy opening a brand new restaurant with a brand new name.
Well, and Phil Roberts, who is a tremendous restaurateur, everybody knows him as Zoom. They remember Governor's Park, Caledonia's. He says fear of failure is a good, good motivator. Talking with Steve Shaw from the Black Eyed Peas, we're special
right
edition
back
of the Mike Boyle Restaurant Show, a podcast talking with Steve Shaw of the Black Eyed Peas. Obviously, back in the 80s, things were a little bit more of a challenging on a both personal and professional level for you, Steve. I think when, you know, I had been in professional baseball and I wanted to live in Colorado. We would come up here and ski. I'd bought some property up in Winter Park, bought a condo. And I said, well, you know what? Maybe I'll go to work for the Denver Bears. Well, the Denver Bears didn't want me, and so I said, what am I going to do? Well, I'm used to putting people in a stadium. Why can't I put people in a restaurant? So I called a friend of mine who had a corporate background. He was with the Chart House. You remember the old Chart House chain back when they were an independent group. And he came back, and we opened one in Copper Mountain, and I bought the hatch cover in Cherry Creek. And one, it turned out that it didn't work out so well. The restaurants were fine, but he wasn't a particularly reliable partner. He had been a good friend, but that didn't work out. But I think one of the reasons you bring a friend in is not only to split the work, split the shifts, but there's a little bit of a comfort blanket there. Don't you agree?
Oh, absolutely. And that's what I did when I opened my restaurant, was mm-hmm. with a friend.
Mm-hmm.
We would get together and talk, and then all of a sudden he found a place.
Mm-hmm.
And he was more motivated than I was, but I was like...
But you got three kids and a wife, so you're pretty motivated.
Yeah, I'm pretty motivated. But I had a secure job at the time and stepped out there and said, okay, let's do this.
Mm-hmm. What kind of a restaurant was it?
It was a pizza and pasta and salad restaurant. Mm-hmm. We had some all-you-can-eat specials for $3.99.
Sure.
And it was a big restaurant. It was a Western Sizzlin' before, so it sat 400 people.
Mm-hmm.
But we had connections with soccer groups and what have you, and we'd fill the dining rooms. We had a big screen TV so they could play their sports stuff, and we were killing it. We were doing great.
How many times have you heard, Steve, from people that have called you up and said, you're a successful restaurateur, or we know you, they see you at a cocktail party, whatever it happens to be, and they say, you know what? I think I'd like to open up a restaurant. I think I'd be pretty good at it. I've got a good fill in the blank. I've got a good green chili recipe. Going back to the E-Myth in the book, I make great cupcakes. You got to sell a lot of cupcakes. You got to sell a lot of green chili to pay the rent on a building that seats 400 people. But how many times have you heard that? I've got a good marinara recipe, or I really make good New York style whatever, and it takes a little bit more than that.
It does, and I've heard even more than that. I love to go out to eat. I know what good food is, so I think I can open my own restaurant.
All right, so you open up this place, and let's fast forward a little bit. The partnership, did it last?
No.
Yeah. And so, you know, there's an old saying in any business. If you ain't got 51%, you ain't got nothing. You've probably heard that, Steve.
Oh, yeah.
And so when this friend of mine came back, I said, you know what? Most of this money is mine. I found the place. We're not going to do 50-50. we're going to do whatever the percentage happened to be. And as it turned out, I needed to have that percentage when I had to get rid of him, because somebody will say, well, I own 20% of this business and we're doing $1 million in sales. So I'll leave. You can fire me, but write me a check for $200,000. Well, that's not quite the way it works.
No, it definitely is not. And in my situation, we had a really good business. And then DIA, the new airport, was being built. Mm-hmm. And my location was right in the same path they were going to rebuild the road to DIA. So my sales were cut in half.
Mm-hmm.
So at that point, my partner and I drew straws because we couldn't afford both of our salaries. And I drew the short end and had to go find a different job at a different restaurant. And then he continued to run that restaurant into the ground, and we ended up closing it.
So let's talk about, because I want to get into, I don't want to get into the minutiae, but I want to get into some of the specifics. Going back to the example I used in Breckenridge, you know, my dad used to say, and he's been dead a long time, but he said, you know what, $1 million isn't a lot of money if you say it real fast. But you know what? So when somebody says this, you've talked to people. You've had leases presented to you, Steve Shaw, on new locations. When somebody says, well, you know, this is a beautiful space and there's a lot of drive-by traffic, folks, the success of any business is not drive-by traffic. It is drive and stop traffic. That's the way to have a successful business. So it's a little bit more than with this drive-by traffic. You know, the Laventhal and Horrath studies say that there's so many cars go by these lights every day. Well, so $10,000 a month, $12,000 a month, $20,000 a month. I'm up into today's rent. Well, if your rent is $12,000 a month, that means every day before you open the doors, you're $400 down. $12,000, 30 days.
Yes.
So you haven't sold a pizza, a beer, a martini, a cupcake, whatever, and you've already got to write a check for $400. Obviously, you don't write your checks day to day, but I'm just trying to illustrate that. But it can be pretty ominous.
Well, not just that, but you have the utilities. You have the lighting. You have the gas.
The aforementioned cam charges.
Exactly. And those cam charges can add up, which is property tax is part of those cam charges. But when property tax goes quadruples in a two-year period, now that $12,000 is $24,000.
Well, and Steve, you and I actually had this conversation recently because a guy came up to me. They know how close we are. They know what a fan I am of the Black Eyed Peas. And he said, why did he close Colorado Boulevard? Well, the realtor is somewhere out there telling people right now, the drive-by traffic here is really impressive, but so are the property taxes.
Absolutely.
And that's something you can't control.
No, you can't. It's just you find out the year before what it's going up, and it continued to do that to the point. And there is a lot of traffic going up and down Colorado Boulevard, but how do you get them to stop?
Exactly.
Because they're going to work, and then they're going home.
Yeah.
And hopefully they stop in at your restaurant. And there's some hotels in there, but during COVID, hotels weren't doing that great. So we were losing our business people. But the main reason we are not in Colorado Boulevard is property taxes.
Well, and you know, Outback had a heck of a formula. I've had Chris Sullivan and Bob Basham, the two guys that started the Outback Steakhouses in Wichita, they were waiters at a steakhouse. They said, we can do this. I don't know where they came up with the Australian theme. I've had them both on the air. I've forgotten where they came up with the Australian theme. But neither here nor there. They got to the point where they would find a joint venture partner for Colorado, a guy named Tom Flanagan. And then Tom Flanagan would take the guys that he knew from being corporate trainers with Bennigan's, just like you were a corporate trainer at Denny's, and interview them at my bar. So that now in Highlands Ranch, the name over the door is the guy that wrote a check to be in that restaurant. So when things get hard, when sales drop off, he doesn't walk away because he's got a contract. He's got to protect his investment. Well, they would put a pinprick in the map and draw a circle 3-mile radius. And they would say if there are 15,000 homes making $40,000 a year, we're talking 1990 now, we're going to do $3 million. And we know that with our formula, we can get 20% to the bottom line, $500,000, $600,000. And then we can go open another one and another one. And it worked out well, got to about 1,000. Now they're back to about 680. But the point is, Steve, you know, there's a lot of things that you can't, it's a great formula, but as things change on those locations, so now we're 20 years later and those ground leases have expired. Those numbers are probably not going to go down. The number for that rent and for the property taxes and for the common area maintenance, they're probably going to go up.
Oh, and yeah, and it's not going to stop. So as you know, on Colorado Boulevard, we had two Village Inns.
Mm-hmm.
We had Hacienda, which I helped build.
Don't forget Hooters.
Hooters was the very first Hooters was mm-hmm. right down the road. Mm-hmm. And then the lease negotiation, and it just didn't work out. Obviously, Black Eyed Peas, obviously, IHOP.
Mm-hmm.
None of it's there anymore.
Yeah.
They're all empty buildings.
Yeah. So what we're trying to do, folks, is we're not trying to encourage you to go into the business. We're not trying to discourage you. But there's just a lot more to it than
you kept
I like
saying location,
eat.
Location, and it and is
like
until it's
eat.
Not.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Location changes.
There's you know there is you know what you like to make cupcakes, you like to cook pheasant under glass for your significant other. There's an old saying in the restaurant business, folks: cooking for two is a romantic dinner. Cooking for 200, it's a lot of work.
It is definitely a lot of work. And you're talking about Arlene's Beans.
Mm-hmm.
She is there every day working it.
Yeah.
I try to get in there at least once a month. She has a wonderful product, and she is working her tail off.
Not to mention the fact that she's got a built-in labor force, because every time she and Bobby turn around, they're having another kid. And so they've all worked at and all grown up with Arlene's Beans. So it can work, and there's plenty of instances of it, but there's plenty of other considerations as well. Let's take a break, and let's go from an independent to a chain operation with Steve Shaw, the Black Eyed Peas. So, you know, you've taken your 401k, you've taken a second mortgage on your house, you've borrowed money from your father-in-law, and you open up one location. And there's a saying in the restaurant business, probably applies to other businesses, that when you're a small independent operator and you buy a franchise, and I'm not talking because you don't just stroll into Oak Brook, Illinois and say to McDonald's, I'd like a franchise. It's not quite how it works. You don't just stroll into Atlanta and say to Chick-fil-A, hey, I'd like to have one of those Chick-fil-A locations. Those are people that have worked there. I believe that something like 85, 87, 90% of McDonald's franchisees started at the bottom. Same thing with the Chick-fil-A operator. Now, they may not start washing the dishes, but you understand what I mean. They had to learn through the system. They had to become an assistant manager, a manager, and then maybe they might have to move to some place when a franchise is offered up to them. But you want to have an independent place, so you open it up. Well, if you're going to open up a small independent, a small franchise, and by the way, folks, you're going to have to pay to play. You're going to have to pay to get in, and then you're going to pay every month 5-6% of your gross to the franchisor, because they need that money to keep that corporate operation going. They need that money for marketing. But if you're the only one in a particular area, they may not have as much marketing for you. Now, the chances of surviving if you are a franchise, they go up exponentially, Steve.
Oh, they do. But you do get the corporate support. When you open a new restaurant, they're there to help you be successful because they want your gross number to be high, because that's where they make their money.
And so what happens, folks, is that if a new franchise is starting, and we've seen what happens with like Kiva Juice, came in like a lion, out like a lamb. Crisp and Green. They came in. They do a good job. They opened one in Colorado Springs. It's already gone. So you will get some of that marketing support. You might get some of that name recognition, more so than if you open up Steve's Sandwich Shop or Mike's Pizzeria. So the marketing aspect becomes important. That's a little bit different for an independent operation, Steve. Talk a little bit about the importance of marketing, because there's an old saying, pencom.com, services sells. You can have the best product in the world, but if you don't sell it, you've still got it.
You know, we've been around over 35 years, but we still have to remind people that we're there. Mm-hmm. And the only way you can do that is through marketing.
I'll never forget Louis Schirota. You know Louis Schirota from Louis Pizza in Colorado Springs, yeah. 5 locations. You know what? Because the market is changing. The dynamic is changing, just like the Outback went from 1,000 restaurants to 680. Well, Louis had 5 locations, been around for 35 years, advertised, coupons, newspaper, does every charity event you could do. Well, people are moving in. He said every day, every week, he would run into somebody and they'd say, what do you do? Or he'd have a shirt on that said Louis Pizza, and they'd say, we've never heard of Louis Pizza. And he would just say, what the heck? What am I not doing here? But there's a little bit more to it than just saying, I've got good food. And folks, if you buy a small sandwich shop, well, there's a pretty good chance you're going to be making the sandwiches and your significant other is going to be running the register because you bought yourself a job.
Oh, you'll also be scrubbing the floors and the toilets and closing down and doing all of your own maintenance. Mm-hmm. That's how it works. And yeah, you got to roll up your sleeves. You are it.
Buck and Cindy Scott, that owned the Colorado Mine Company from 1971 to 1986. And they were doing a big number back then. I've known Buck, well, Buck's dead now, but I still know Cindy. I've known him for years. Well, you want to know something? If you wanted to see Craig Morton, if you wanted to see Magic Johnson, if you wanted to see Bon Jovi, they were probably at the Colorado Mine Company. But I would go in there and I'd stand around with Buck and Cindy and I'd be having a drink and Buck would go into the bathroom just to check on it. And he'd pick up paper towels off the floor and he'd wipe off the mirror because there were water spots on it. You know what? It never stops. How many cigarette butts, as the owner of Black Eyed Peas for 30 years, how many cigarette butts have you picked up in the parking lot of your restaurants?
Thousands every day. And you know what, Mike? Every time you're in my restaurant, you're doing the same thing. You haven't stopped.
I haven't. I actually pick up stuff in other restaurants, parking lots or whatever, because that's if it starts to unravel, it'll go in a hurry. Talk about how you decided to go from an independent operator to how you got involved with the Black Eyed Peas. Started in 1976, 77, Gene Street down in Dallas, expanded, got up to 150, 180 restaurants, came up to Colorado, operated by a guy that we both know. He left. You and your partner took them over. Take the listeners through that. I think they'll find it interesting.
Well, originally, yeah, it was Tim Schmidt.
Right.
And I worked for him.
And by the way, Tim Schmidt, folks, is the guy that is in charge of Elway's restaurants. He's a very talented restaurant guy. But John Elway, I don't know what John does day to day. I know I see him in commercials for cars, and I know he's got Elway's restaurants. But Tim Schmidt is the guy that makes those restaurants happen.
Yeah, he did that and Hacienda Colorado.
Yep.
So we were all sister companies. Mm-hmm. And then 2005, he wanted to expand Hacienda and Elway's more, so he sold Black Eyed Peas to a private equity firm out of Florida.
And let me explain. Randy Price, that has Salsa Brava restaurants and Urban Eggs, a daytime eatery. He took on, Randy's a sharp guy. He's a great guy, a wonderful operator. He just took on some private equity money. And he did it because he wants to focus on having, he's got a restaurant in Overland, Kansas. He wants Urban Eggs, a daytime eatery, to go nationwide. So you need that money. But if you're relinquishing a little bit of your company for the expansion, that's one thing. If you're relinquishing it because you're not doing well and you need the money, that's another. And when a private equity firm gets involved, the whole ball game changes, Steve.
It changed overnight. Mm-hmm. So,
and folks, and just to give you a very simple example, Steve, I'm sorry to interrupt, but they may say, why do we have a server back then making $2.13 an hour, tip credit, and she's waiting on four tables? You know what? If we can get every server in our restaurant group to wait on six tables, we will change. We will go from X number of servers to X minus number of servers, save a lot of $2.13 an hour, and that money goes to the bottom line. What happens to the hospitality? What happens to the service? What happens to the upsales? But talk about what happens.
Oh, sure. Or let's put 2 ounces of cheese instead of three, because when you have 800 restaurants, that could be multi-millions of dollars.
The chicken breast that was 10 ounces is now 8.
Right. So now you're given lower portions. You have your server, like you talked about, now has six tables, so she can't be as attentive, or he, to the tables. So service starts dropping. Things just start to change. And our regulars see that very quickly.
No question. All right. So they've got the black eyed pea. How does Steve Shaw wind up with the black eyed pea?
When did I start at Black IP?
Well, I mean, no, they've now gone the private equity route, and so go ahead.
Yeah, I stayed on with Black IP. I was a vice president of operations. Alan Laughlin was the CFO, and we were going through challenges being with this private equity firm that also bought all the Texas Black IPs, and they wanted Colorado to run the Texas Black IPs. We were the infrastructure. It seemed like day one, the minute they took ownership, our sales dropped by 30%. We have no idea why. It happened overnight. And so then they started, you know, replenishing the funds. They had a 5-year plan. And when it didn't work out, they decided to start closing Black Eyed Peas. We had 17 in Colorado. They had 80 in Texas. And at that point, they said, well, Black Eyed Peas done. We're going to wash our hands of it and move on to our next endeavor.
But you being on the inside, you said, wait a minute.
As Coach Corso
would say on the college game, not so fast. And so you said, well, maybe we should step up.
And that's what we did. We reached out to one of our main people over at this private equity firm and said, hey, we love this company. What can we do to make it ours? What can we do?
Did you find that it was a motivated seller as well as a motivated buyer?
Absolutely.
And folks, let me give you an example. When I sold the hatch cover and when I bought the Cork and Cleaver in Glendale, Cork and Cleavers used to be a really going Jesse. And to my knowledge, they used to have one more up in Boulder. I don't know if they still had it. But it was designed by Peter Green. Everybody called him Pedro Verde. And it was a nice hacienda-style feel. Well, I knew that they were leaving. And so I went to the landlord next door at La Petite. And so they said, yeah, we'd love to have you in there, Mike. We know you. So I called the corporate office in Atlanta. And I said, how much do you want for it? And they told me. And I said, I'll give you an answer in 24 hours. I called them back in 24 hours, and I said, here's my number. It was 40% of the number. And I will never forget, there was a silence, and the guy said, whoa, we didn't expect that. I said, I need an answer in 24 hours, another 24 hours. He called me back and said, we'll take it. And I said, I want you to walk away. I want you to hand me the keys. I want you to leave the plates, the bottles, the booze, everything. I want you to walk away. And they did. And so, you know, so my guess is that you probably, they were trying to get rid of it. They were getting on to bigger fish to fry, no pun intended. And you said, we'll take it. So,
Then the work started. We had to go to every single landlord and get their approval to put the lease in our names.
Yes, because the landlord, who does the landlord want? Whether you're Steve Shaw, Outback Steakhouse, or Black Eyed Pea, they want the person with the deep, deep pockets. We'll be right back. We're going to wrap up this special hour of the Mike Boyle Restaurant Show. So you want to be in the restaurant business? We've covered a lot of stuff. I've got Steve Shaw in studio with me. Steve is the owner and operator of Black Eyed Pea. So private equity firm says, we don't want these restaurants anymore. You and your partner, Alan, said, we do. You take over 9 Black Eyed Peas.
Yes, we did. And we worked it hard. Mm-hmm. And we got them going. And it seemed like when they bought it, things went down. The very next day when we bought it, our sales started going back up. It was almost like everybody in Colorado found out it was privately owned again by a local.
Locally owned
enough. Alan was from Colorado, born and raised. I was born and raised in Colorado, and things just started making sense. But you have to work hard. You have to roll up your sleeves.
Well, and you know what, folks? Let's go to another cliche. I don't like to eat at chains. Well, I got some news for you. Steve Shaw lives in Colorado. He operates restaurants in Colorado, but he's got 8 restaurants. So you're a chain. And one of the things that I would say, I don't say it as a pejorative. That's why I don't use the term chain. I say corporate restaurants. But you know what? If you're a little mom and pop sandwich shop, there's one thing that you don't get that is very important that Steve Shaw gets. Steve, you get volume pricing, volume buying, volume clout when you talk to our friends at Pepsi or Seattle Fish or whoever it happens to be.
Absolutely, and that plays a big role in it. When you purchase as much food as I do, people want your business. They want to come in and talk to you. They want to sell your product. And yes, we're a chain.
When you have 8 restaurants, you know who your sales reps are. You know who the sales managers are. If you own a little mom and pop, there's a pretty good chance that you get a computerized price statement in your email Sunday night with orders to be in by 6 o'clock Monday morning.
Oh, absolutely. No, and I know the brokers and I work the contracts with the manufacturers. So not just a distribution center. Mm-hmm. And yeah, buying power is gold.
Mm-hmm. All right. So what do we say to the people out there that don't have access to buy an 8 Black Eyed Pea, but they want to get into the business? I would say when it comes to the landlord and the real estate agent and all those people, the purveyors, all the suppliers that want you in, Ronald Reagan had a pretty famous line, trust but verify. I would say do your homework. Steve, the business, we've been very blessed. We've done very well in the business. I'm going to ride this horse into the sunset. I got a feeling you are as well. But you know what? You got to just be careful. You got to approach. Don't be quitting your day job until you have everything in place. I remember a couple down in Colorado Springs. They were both working for the city of Colorado Springs. And they said, we're both going to quit our jobs and buy a restaurant in Salida. And I said, can't one of you stay with this reasonably secure job with the city so you can make your mortgage payment, your car payment? Because, folks, when you're done with the rent and the utilities and the property taxes, at the end of the month, when you look in that shoebox, if there's any money left, you can have it, but everybody else has to be taken care of first.
Mike, you probably know better than I do how many new restaurants go out of business within the first 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't change.
American Express did the most extensive survey ever, and they said it's 50%.
Yes, and it continues to grow. I don't even buy brand new equipment anymore.
No, why would you?
Yeah, because I can get it for pennies on the dollar, equipment that's only a year old or less.
At an auction.
Yeah, it's tough.
Yeah.
And you have to be careful. Like you just said, you have to be careful when you're making this decision to jump into your own gig.
Well, you know what, Steve? It's been good to us. And I believe that over our years, you and I probably have 75, 80, close to 100 years collectively in the business. We've had other people help us. And we've helped other people. And what I would like to do as we wrap up this special hour of the restaurant show, I would like to let people know that if they want to contact me, I'd be more than happy to sit down with them. Would you be willing to do the same?
Absolutely, Mike. And you've asked me to do that before. We've sat down with folks and just talked it through.
Mm-hmm.
And it's glorifying to be able to do that and to either watch their eyes open up and gleam or go, oh, I don't know. Yeah. Maybe I shouldn't do this yet.
Yeah. And folks, if you think you've got all the answers, you haven't asked all the questions. Is that safe to say?
Yes, sir.
Steve Shaw, I cannot thank you enough for coming in. 8 Black Eyed Peas, and you never know when number 9, number 10 may be on the horizon. He's always looking, and matter of fact, maybe if you know a location that he might work out well at, you're more than welcome to contact us as well. But Steve, you're a tremendous credit. I don't say it because you're sitting with me. You're a tremendous credit to the restaurant industry, and thanks for sharing your thoughts with the listeners of the Mike Boyle Restaurant Show.
Thanks, Mike.
All right, Steve Shaw is his name, Black Eyed Peas. The restaurants, my name is Mike Boyle. You can go to my website, mikeboyle.com. If you missed any part of this, it will be posted on the homepage under Overtime, and hopefully you enjoy it. All right, that wraps up this hour of the Mike Boyle Restaurant.